Psalm 37, this is a long psalm, and there are so many wonderful things in this psalm. Just reading through it, there's so many things that one verse, you could just preach from one verse. And we're going to look at this differently. I want to look at something very specific in this. We're going to skim the whole psalm, but as Brandon just read this for us, this psalm is talking about two types of people. Two different types of people. The wicked and the righteous. All through the psalm. The wicked and the righteous. Look at verse 17. It says, "The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." Verse 21 says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." The wicked, in which they're called evildoers, and the righteous. I thought there was none righteous. No, not one. That's what Romans 3 says, doesn't it? None righteous. No, not one. Turn with me over to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And let's look at verse 34. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar." God said Abel was righteous. That's what He said. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Righteous. God testifying of His gifts. So there's at least one righteous person. At least one. God said so. Go with me over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verse 5 says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." There's two more. Two more. What does that mean? Does the Scripture contradict itself? Turn back over to Psalm 37 with me. We're going to find out. Psalm 37, and look at verse 25. David writes, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Haven't seen it. If by nature there's none righteous, and there is none righteous, God said so. If by nature all are born sinners, if all come forth speaking lies. How can this be? How can an undeserving sinner not be forsaken and be called righteous by God? That's the question, isn't it? Here's how. When our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when He hung there on that cross, He became my sin. He became me, and He became my sin. He took all of my filthy, rotten, dead, stinking sin, and He laid it all over Himself. He became me. And then our Lord cried the most glorious words that a sinner's ever heard in his life. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken. He was forsaken for me. He was forsaken for every sinner that God chose to make righteous. The righteous one was forsaken, that sinners might be made righteous. Because of that, David can say in verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Every sinner that God chose to put in Christ, they're not going to be forsaken. None of them. That is the difference between the wicked and the righteous. Who maketh thee to differ? Christ does. Christ does. Now, all those that He did this work for, all those that He made righteous, they are followers of Him. That's what we are. We're followers of Him. Brother Tom put out an announcement. We're going to move service from Wednesday to Thursday. And here comes Ashland. And here comes Cottageville. And here comes Orlando. And we're not followers of Tom. And we're not followers of Gabe. We're all here because we're following Christ. If two or three are met together in His name, He said, I'm here. I'm here. All those that He did this for, they're followers of Him and they're called believers. That's what they're called. Believers. What a precious thing it is to be a believer. It is such a precious, precious thing to be a believer. It's a present. It's a gift. It's not a choice. It's not a decision. It's a gift. And it is a precious thing. Believers believe what God has to say about who they are in their flesh. They're sinners. Man, I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. They believe what God has to say about who He is by nature. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is just. He is right. I believe that with all my heart. They believe in every work that He has done, every work that He has accomplished. They believe it's finished. It's really finished. That's the difference in the truth and a lie. It's finished. That's the whole difference. What a precious, precious thing it is to be a believer. By God's sovereign mercy and grace to me, I believe it's finished. I truly believe that. You believe that too. You truly believe that. This message tonight is for believers, specifically. Believers. It's for those who believe that salvation is accomplished. Totally accomplished. There's no more work to be done. Christ finished it all. This is for believers of that. Here in Psalm 37, our Lord gives us some instruction. He gives us some comfort, some instruction and some comfort. I was really, really thinking on tonight. And I think first and foremost, I preach to myself. What does Gabe Stonecker need this Thursday night? And then everybody else has to listen to that. And the Lord gives us some instruction and some comfort for the rest of our journey through this life. I have, if the Lord doesn't come back, and if He keeps me alive on this earth, I got a long road ahead of me. We got a long road. It's not that long. And we're not going to be alone. But He's given us some instruction and some comfort for the rest of this journey through this life. I need this. I really need this. He's given us 8 exhortations in here for believers. 8 exhortations. Our Lord said, "My people are not of this world." In Exodus 11, He said, "I've put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians, the righteous and the wicked. I've put a difference. Believers and unbelievers." And the first thing I thought of is, I pity. My heart breaks for those who have not received God's gift of saving faith. My heart breaks for them. I have family, loved ones that have not received this gift of faith. And I don't care what they have in this life. If they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. They're working their way towards something. They're going to try to pay off something. And about the time they get it paid off, it's going to rot and they're going to have to buy it again. I finally got my van paid off. I'm about to buy another car. And I don't care what we have in this life. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. And that's what David's saying here in Psalm 37. They that are of this world, they're at peace with this world. They mock God and they profane His name and they steal His glory, yet they thrive. They thrive. And they flourish in this world. Look at verse 35. Psalm 37, 35. He said, "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree." They're so happy. So happy in this life. They do have some poverty. And they do have some sickness. They do have some hardships, but they are at total peace with their sin. Total peace with their sin. You know, to say, well, believers have it hard in this life and unbelievers don't. Well, unbelievers have it hard too. But you ask them, are you struggling and are you dying over your sin? No. No, that's the one thing I'm good on. That's fine. All I need is more money or more time or more whatever it is. I'm good in that department. They're not struggling with their sin. Believers are not so. They're not so. This life is not easy for believers because they're in continual war with their flesh. Absolute continual war with their flesh. I am learning that more each day. I have been saying it for years. I'm learning it more each day. It gets harder and harder. War with our own sin. We're consumed by it. We really are. We're plagued by it. While we watch this world spit in the face of our God and then go on about their way just happily. Mm-hmm. Turn with me over to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 verse 1 says, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Envious. Go down to verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. He said, I was so envious. I was just so envious. Until I went into the sanctuary and I saw their latter end. God be merciful to us. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Don't let my flesh wander into the world. Latch hold of this world and not let go. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from the wrath to come. Wrath to come. I know one of these days I'm going to enter in. I'm really going to enter in to what I preach. Really. We hear these things in this flesh. Let me tell you how I war with this flesh. It immediately goes, I know that. I've heard that. Everybody's been preaching that to me since I was a kid. Yep, that's the truth. Let's move on and get to the next thing. Lord, thank you for saving me from the wrath to come. I wish that this world could just for one second have their eyes opened. God, help us. Thank you, Lord, for saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Go back over to Psalm 37 with me. Verse 1, it says, Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. All flesh is grass. It's all grass. I don't care what it appears they have going for them, they're going to be cut down in it. Don't envy them. A couple years ago, I was driving to Cottageville, West Virginia. I spent the night at my dad's and Saturday night, and I was driving by myself, going to preach in Cottageville. And I was tired. I had a business, a music business, and I was studying from wake up to 2. And then I was teaching guitar lessons from 2 to 9. And then I was getting up on Saturday and driving and coming back in Sunday night and then starting the whole routine over again. And I was headed to Cottageville and got off of the interstate. And coming out of a gas station was a guy in a gorgeous truck. Beautiful truck. And he was pulling a gorgeous bass boat. I mean, it was shiny. Sunday morning. And I looked at that guy and I thought, I guarantee you that guy worked late Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday so he could get off early on Friday. Half a day on Friday. And then he has all day off on Saturday. And then he gets up Sunday and he has all day off on Sunday. Sleep in, go fishing. And then he just goes and does it for a few more days and he starts that all over again. And then it hit me, God, be merciful on this man. Be merciful to this man. I have the privilege of worshiping God. God has broken me. God has put a rein on me. He's pulled me down and He sat me down. And He has forced me to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, He has saved me from the wrath to come. Oh, and I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't envy them. Bless their hearts. They're going to be cut down. They're going to be cut down. And I'm saying this right now, not to be mean. I'm saying this. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. God, be merciful to sinners. Please be merciful to sinners. Look at verse 12. Psalm 37, verse 12 says, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." Foolish man says, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that," while God is sitting there in the heavens watching his days count down. Just watching his days count down. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." He knows the exact day and hour and minute and second that he's going to no longer allow that man to breathe. "The only reason I'm breathing is because God says, breathe. 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 Breathe." And that's it. That's it. Verse 14 says, "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken." Our Lord said, "He that lives by the sword is going to die by the sword." He said, "Vengeance is mine. My word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the heart." Verse 16 says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." How many people do you think know this God? This God that breaks arms? That's shocking, isn't it? Somebody's going to say, "That's not my God." Apparently not. But thanks be to God, that is our God. That is our God. Their God is not like our God. Our God is God. Verse 20 says, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away." He's saying, don't envy that lamb or that pig or that cow that's just sitting up in that nice stall. Sitting up in the nice with the big stall, being fattened for the slaughter. God be merciful to us. God be merciful to us. This is why we preach, isn't it? This is why we stand in the highway, in this broad way, crying, "The bridge is out. Wake up! You're headed into destruction. Fear this God. You're going to meet Him. Bow the knee. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Believers hear that. And do you know what they do? They believe it. They believe it. How do they do that? They dig down deep inside themselves and find their faith and pull it up and use it? No. It's not of themselves. It's the gift of God. It's all of God. Salvation's of the Lord. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. What a precious thing it is to be a believer. A believer. It's a gift from God. It's a gift to be chosen by Him. To be put in Christ. That's a gift of God. Now here in Psalm 37, our God has given us 8 exhortations for believers. 8 exhortations. If we will heed these, truly heed these. And again, I'm preaching to myself on this. This will help us through the rest of this journey. This will greatly help us through the rest of this life. Here's the first one. Here's the first one. Considering all things, considering that Christ became my sin for me, and He put away my sin. He was forsaken by God that I might never be forsaken. Considering that God is God, and God said, "Vengeance is mine," and God will do all things. Considering salvation is totally of the Lord. Here's the first exhortation. Verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Fret not thyself because of evildoers. I need constant reminding of this. Let's not allow ourselves to burn with jealousy. I got to remember that. Or envy. Or anger. Over other men and women. Fret not. They have it as good right now as they're ever going to have it in their soul's life. This is all they have. This physical life and this physical flesh is as good as they're ever going to have it. We get Christ. We get Jesus Christ. One of these days, with my own two eyes, I'm going to see my Christ. And I'm going to hug Him for my own. He is my inheritance. Feel sorry for them. Feel sorry for them. But for the grace of God, there go I. When it comes to co-workers and things like that, but for the grace of God, there go I. We're going to be around somebody that's just... Fret not. Fret not. Fret not over evildoers. Russia is... Who knows what Russia is going to do? Fret not. That's right. Fret not. I don't get the news. And every time I watch it, I find out something I wish I didn't know. And I turned it on the other day and I saw where the Muslims in America have formed a group. They've named it something. They've realized if they will all vote together, they can sway presidential elections. Fret not. Fret not. Everything is in the hand of God. Your God is in control. Fret not. He is absolutely in control. Well, you know, they're going to do some cutbacks at work. They're going to do some layoffs. I might lose my job. Fret not. David said, I've been young. Now I'm old. And in all my days, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Fret not. Here's the second one. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust Him. I mean, really. Trust Him. We read His Word. We know His Word. We can quote His Word. We do believe it, but we don't believe it. We want to believe it. We wish we believed it. Trust Him. Trust Him. He said, don't be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence by day, or the arrow by night. Trust Him. Trust Him. What if somebody's waiting on me in the parking lot at Walmart? My God is in control. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. He's given us His Word. We know His Word. We have the knowledge. Ask the Lord. Calls us to put it to use, Lord. Let's trust Him. It says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Just trust in the Lord. I'm talking to Gabe Stonaker, and you all just have to listen to it. Faith in Christ will cause us to stop fretting. It'll cause us to stop fretting. Let's not trust in any man. Starting with this one. When something goes wrong, who am I going to look to? This one. I'll get myself out, thank you. No, I won't. That breath was just a command, a present from God. The steps I took were a present from God. The mind that's thinking is a present from God. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Don't put our trust in any man, any politician, any lawyer, any doctor to help us do anything. Trust in the Lord. Here's the third one. Verse 4, Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's a good one, isn't it? Don't fret. Trust. And then delight. Delight thyself in the Lord. Our Lord is so delightful. He's so delightful. In Him we are so happy, aren't we? This life is tough. But in Him, we couldn't be any happier, could we? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. We are happy in Him. We're happy in His house. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here right now. There's no other place I'd rather be. I just wish one of those two guys was preaching instead of me. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's all get in our car and drive up and go to the house of the Lord tonight. Let's do it. We are happy in His Word. We are happy in His will. Lord, what would You have me to do? I don't want to do anything that You wouldn't have me to do. If I believe I am in the Lord's will, I just couldn't be any happier. Is it easy? Nope. Are you happy? Yes. Yes, I am. We are happy in His mercy. Oh, man, every time we understand what mercy means, we're happy. Very happy. The gospel is so sweet. It is so sweet. It's so loving and precious. It's nothing but good news. I have said nothing but bad news for the first three quarters of this message. But the gospel is nothing but good news because of all that bad news. Go with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money. How terrible is it when you have no money? I'm telling you, I don't have a dime on me. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why? Christ has already paid for it all. It's all been paid for. Verse 2, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Just delight itself. God's people are happy. Happy in Christ. Delight in the Lord. Back to Psalm 37. Here's the fourth one. Verse 5 says, Commit thy way unto the Lord. Whatever is your way, whatever comes your way, commit it unto the Lord. We have a lot of things come our way. We have a lot of things come our way. This is life. It's reality. And when you get that phone call, you're having a good day and everything's going fine, and you get that phone call, commit it to the Lord. Roll it over to the Lord immediately. Roll it over. Whatever's keeping you up at night worrying, commit it to the Lord. Roll your burden over to Him. I have two little girls, and oh, Lord, save them. Lord, they're in Your hands. Thy will be done. That's the only thing I can do. We've been put under the burden of the Word. And this Word is a burden. It is a burden. It's a burden. One man said, if a man knew what it was like to be a full-time pastor, he would never take it. One man told me, I wouldn't wish this on anybody and I'd never want to give it up. And I agree. And it's a burden. It's a burden. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? I love you all. Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, would you send the message? Lord, would you send your Spirit? Lord, would you bless your word? Lord, would you bless your people? Lord, if you don't do it, we're not going to be blessed. Lord, I'm going to have to roll it over to you. Roll your burden over to the Lord. It's so far out of my hands, it all has to be in your hands. Every bit of it. Lord, thy will be done. 1 Peter 5 says, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Here's the fifth one. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. When God completed His work, He rested. There's no more work to do. He has already finished the work. He's already finished the work. The work of redemption, the work of my salvation. There's no more work to do. Rest. If that work is finished, there's nothing else to worry about. If I'm redeemed, there's nothing else to worry about. Rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Cast all your burden on Him and then rest. That's wonderful. Man, that's wonderful. Here's number 6. Verse 8. Cease from anger. Lord, help me to do that. Relieve me of that. Since we know that everything God does is on purpose. We all know that, don't we? We all know that. Since we know that everything that happens works together for our good as believers. Since we know that if we knew the end from the beginning, we wouldn't change a thing about it. We know that, don't we? Let's cease from anger. What do we have to be angry about? We get angry when it doesn't go the way we wanted it to go. Which way is it going? The way God purposed for it to go. The best possible way. Gabe Stoniker, cease from anger. Every time my flesh wants to raise his ugly head up, Lord, let me stifle him back down. Just stifle him back down. That old man wants to rage, stifle him back down. I want to show you a wonderful example of this. Go with me over to 2 Samuel 16. This is a blessing. I'm preaching longer than I ever preach. And I'm feeling the burden to wrap it up. But I want you to see this. It's such a blessing. 2 Samuel 16. Verse 5 says, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David. He was throwing rocks at him. And at all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abisha the son of Zeruiah unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take his head off. And the king said, What have I to do with you, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abisha and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Lord, would you recall that to my mind the next time? Really? Really? Man. They came to our Lord and Peter did cut off a man's ear. And the Lord said, Peter, put away your sword. James said, The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The apostle said, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven on them? Cease from anger. Joseph told his brothers that sold him into slavery, You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Let's cease from anger. Here's number 7. Go back with me to Psalm 37. Verse 27 says, Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil and do good. This is something every parent tells his child. Every parent. There is none good. By nature, we're all evil. But here's our exhortation. Let's strive to be like Christ. I mean, I hope we have clearly established this is not for salvation. Christ did that. Christ was forsaken. This message is for believers. Lord, I want to be like Christ. Let's strive to obey His Word. If He says this is good and this is evil, let's strive to do good and depart from evil. Lord, keep us from the evil one. 1 Thessalonians says, Abstain from all appearances of evil. I'll tell you something that appears evil to me. It's this young, cool, contemporary religion. It seems evil to me. Lord, let us not creep toward contemporary religion. I'm going to speak candidly. Our dear brother Henry is not preaching anymore. And our dear brother Scott Richardson's already gone. And here we are, a younger generation. Lord, let us cling to the old paths. And let us not creep toward contemporary religion. Let us not get tattoos and pierce everything on our body so the kids will think it's cool to come to church. That seems unthinkable for a sovereign grace church, doesn't it? But Lord, keep us from that. Keep our flesh from that. Keep us from that. If it doesn't look right, if something about it doesn't feel right, let's stay away from it. Let's just stay away from it. Lord, for the rest of our days, let us stay away from that. Deuteronomy 12. Let me just read to you this. This is Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. It says, Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children. Lord, I need it to go, and I desire it to go well for me and for my children. Conform us to Christ. Lord calls us to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here's the last one. Number 8. Psalm 37, verse 34 says, wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. If a person truly trusts the Lord, truly, and if a person truly delights in the Lord, and if a person truly rests in the Lord, then that person is going to be totally content to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Everything happens in His appointed time. It's never our time. Our time is yesterday. His time is eternal. And in the space of eternity to eternity, never ending to never ending, there's a few thousand years where God has made man. And it's that fast, the whole thing. And to us, it's an eternity. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Spurgeon said this. He said, wait on the Lord in obedience as a servant. He said, wait on the Lord in hope as an heir. And he said, wait on the Lord in expectation as a believer. Expectation. And verse 34 goes on to say, He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Those are wonderful exhortations for us, aren't they? I pray the Lord will help us and bless us with those. All right, Brother Tom.